Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports to the max. Joining us now, the one and only Lee Hutton, former Gopher football player, attorney, and right on the front lines always when there's stuff going on with the University of Minnesota and athletes, and very, very much plugged in, as we say. Lee, thanks for joining us tonight.
Anytime for you, Mike.
Yeah, I've been dying to get your opinion on this. It came down, you're going to get paid for your likeness, and we have no idea what this all means. So we'll take it one step at a time. When you saw that ruling, you thought what?
You know, I thought the ruling is indicative of the NCAA trying to save themselves because they're on life support. This is something that they had to do and manage, because I still predict that sooner or later we're going to have five or six major conferences with 30 or so teams that are going to be for-profit organizations, and the NCAA model of nonprofit amateurism is going to be something of the past.
So do you think, I mean, down the road at some point in time, because the big are going to realize what they got and they say, hell with it, we'll cut our own TV deals. That's not even hard anymore. Or maybe we'll just start our own TV network. And NCAA, you go do it. You govern whoever you want to govern. But those of us, whoever that is, we're going to do business on our own, and we'll see if people want to watch us.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think the new set of fans are not just going to be Americans. I think it's going to be international fans. And I think the more technology helps us with national, international reach, the more the business model is going to turn into a for-profit situation. Similarly, like the NFL, they have the NFL entity, but what a lot of people don't know, when you see the Campbell Soup commercials and the logo NFL Players Inc., that's a licensing arm, which is a for-profit entity where companies can pay a marketing licensing deal to get the Tom Brady's, and I think there was a famous commercial with Tom Brady and his offensive line sitting at a restaurant for a credit card commercial. Mm-hmm. That deal wasn't directly through the players. It was through the NFL marketing arm. And so if the NCAA is smart, I do think that to protect themselves from completely being off life support and just completely dead, is that there would be an NCAA for-profit marketing arm where they can license all the student athletes and at least have a little bit more control.
And what they're going to try, what would the goal then would be, the member schools, agreed to allow us to be that marketing arm or to provide it for you, and therefore we keep control.
That's exactly right. And even in some of the language that the NCAA had in their policy, first of all, they said, yes, we will allow athletes to make money off their image, but they kind of gave a guideline. So the first thing they did, they said, schools, you come up with the legislation, you deal with it. And then we'll let you know if you got it right according to our cryptic response. But they also said something else. They said these rules must protect the recruiting environment and prohibit inducements to select, remain at, or transfer to specific institutions, talking about the athletes. That's important. The other thing they said, that these regulations that the schools must prepare, they must make clear the distinction between collegiate and professional opportunities. So that means that they have to ensure that athletes are not making money off of being athletes. And I think that's going to be very hard for the legislation to come about.
So they're trying to say they're making money off their image, not off of being an athlete, but they wouldn't have the image if they weren't being an athlete. Go have fun with that, right?
That's exactly right. And then you have certain senators and legislatures coming about. One particular senator out of North Carolina, Richard Burr, he's kind of drew his line in the sand because he's not a proponent of this new discussion of athletes getting paid where the NCAA is now endorsing it. And he tweeted a couple of days ago, if college athletes are going to make money off their likeness while in school, their scholarship should be treated like income. And he's going to be introducing legislation that subjects scholarships given to athletes who choose to cash in, quote unquote, to be income taxes.
Okay. And here's the, obviously one of the issues with that would be, the majority of the kids that get scholarships are not going to have a lot of opportunities to cash in on their likeness, because it's still only going to be the best, just like the NFL. Peyton Manning was all over it, right? But you didn't see a lot of other quarterbacks out there except for Tom Brady. And I mean, it ain't easy to get these deals, because when it's a business deal, you have to have create some confidence in that company that you could sell their product for more than they're paying you for. So it's not donations in kind. It's they want something from you, or they wouldn't hire you to be their spokesman or whatever. So the majority of your scholarship kids, that is the extent of what they're going to get still, right?
That's exactly right. And we haven't even gotten to the second hour of our discussion, is what does this mean for college athletes when you deal with morality clauses in likeness? Now, if a kid gets in trouble or just needs a little bit more guidance, it's very easy for the coach to discipline and say, you know, okay, let's try to re-engage you. You're going to sit out a couple of games suspension because of a minor disciplinary infraction. Well, now if they have these marketing deals where money is on the table, athletes are going to be subject to morality clauses. And that's going to be very, very clear. And so now if an athlete does something either minor or major to disrupt the contract, that could even impact his scholarship rights.
I hadn't even thought about that one. Now, what I mean, let's have a real honest discussion about this instead of people walking around the edges and this and that. The only thing that they're interested in general, is men's basketball and football. Maybe
that's
someday
correct.
That'll change, and you will have some donors. You know, somebody has a successful company, and they've always loved a track program, and they go, you know what, this is my opportunity to give back that track program. I get that, but I'm saying from a business standpoint, from purely a business standpoint, not a donor standpoint, and you can get donors now, even though the money doesn't go to the athletes. It's we're talking about men's basketball and football, and that's it. Do you see, and the fans could care less to a large extent, they just want to be entertained. They'll pay to watch these teams perform. Do you see where the big schools say, okay, those two programs are on their own. Everybody else, we're going to run different rules through because you don't generate enough money anyway.
Well, here, think of this scenario, Mike, is I think you're right. The football and the basketball programs are going to be the juicy programs where your bang for your buck is going to be bigger because of the television contracts. But I think what's going to happen, you're going to have clever companies that are just going to pay a school for a licensing deal. And they're going to say, we're going to give you X million dollars so we can use your whole basketball team. Then the school is going to go to the basketball kid. So you like Nike and you love the Jordan logo on your clothes. Guess what? We worked a deal. We just want you to sign this piece of paper that will make the money. You'll get free clothes, and maybe you'll get a couple of $100 on top of that. So they're going to do these group licensing deals. Now, what's going to happen is I do think there are opportunities, you know, in a perfect world where the Tiger Wood, who is at Stanford, who starts getting paid at the local golf course, or the, you know, the Brock Lesnar who is wrestling.
And I was thinking about him the other day. Now, he could have gotten his own deal. You know, he had that cachet, that something, you know.
Absolutely. So I think in the non-revenue sports, there may be some opportunities for that one or two individual that like you say, has that cachet to really cash in big. But I do think with the football and these big programs, I couldn't imagine where a school who's being sponsored by Nike is going to allow a kid to do his own deals with a shoe company for like the Ball Brothers and have that impact their global licensing deal. So you're going to have, you know, clever attorneys who are representing the big institution that's used to making money, where one kid is going out hiring maybe the neighborhood lawyer that he knows that grew up.
Sure.
It's just going to be a complete mismatch. I do think there's somewhat of an overreaction that there's this misunderstanding that, like you said, that these kids are going to run amok because now they have a lot of money in their pocket. That I don't foresee that happening. I think the only reason why the NCAA even agreed to the fact that they're open to the idea is because they knew sooner or later the Power Five conferences were going to break away and start their own for-profit conferences without the NCAA rule oversight.
Because they really don't need the NCAA. I mean, everybody just – that's the only game in town. But if you think about it, they really could if they got this together. They could say, look, we are no longer abide by – you know, I don't know if they have contracts with the NCAA or how it works, but they just – look, we are not governed by the NCAA. We're an NAI, you know?
That's exactly right. So all these schools that you see on TV every Saturday, they're member schools, and they have some input on some of the rules and regulations, but the administration is the NCAA. I mean, case in point, there's one very popular school that is already 1 foot out the door and always has been, and that school is Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is the one that really started this.
They navigated the waters like no one has.
That's right. I mean, several years ago, Notre Dame was very popular because they were the school that signed the television contract.
NBC,
with
NBC. Yep.
That's exactly right. And then now the other school says, I didn't know you can do that. Well,
yep.
Notre Dame says, well, we're kind of a member school, but we're really not. We're independent.
We're independent. We'll give your hockey team to the Big Ten, and we'll throw this team over to the Big East. You just ain't touching our football team.
That's right.
Yeah.
And even to this day, that business model still works for Notre Dame, which is the reason why they're independent.
Mm-hmm.
That's
now,
exactly right.
Now, if you're a coach, this is where it gets interesting as well. Now, the coaches are going to have to figure out a way to use this as a recruiting advantage. You know this, Lee. Their minds are right now, they're rifling through this, you know. And so the recruiting advantage would be, how can I secure, guarantee more money for these players that I'm recruiting? Where do you see this quandary? How does this play out?
Yeah, and the NCAA kind of cautioned against school using this, but you know, that's kind of one of those things that's almost impossible.
Impossible. Yeah,
it's absolutely impossible. I mean, it's happening now. When I was being recruited, they said, "Hey, you want to play on the Metrodome where the Vikings play?" That was really cool for an 18-year-old kid.
Yep.
As times passed, you know, outdoor stadiums became really big.
Yep.
And then Nike kind of took over, and they started giving uniforms to kids every day that were really, really cool. So coaches, you're right, are going to use this advantage, and they're going to say, look around, I'm Alabama, you're going to be on TV every day, and guess what? We worked a deal and play on Sundays now. You know, this is where the money is. We can travel to Mexico or China and really get to an international market. I mean, really, you know, the world is the oyster, but coaches are going to use this as an opportunity for a kid to choose Alabama over Clemson. And then the arms race is going to begin, just like the facilities.
It'll take about 30 seconds for those coaches to figure out a way to use this, you know?
That's exactly right. And quite frankly, it's not even just the coaches. You're having savvier kids who are using technology, and kids in the recruiting world, especially your number ones, know how it is. You know, you get an offer, they tweet it out, they just got an offer from the University of Minnesota, and everybody knows. And then other schools say, I must give that kid an offer too, because he just tweeted he got an offer from Minnesota. And now the schools are compelled to listen to this number one recruit.
Yeah, and by the way, and the really interesting part of this, Lee, as you know, is he may not have an offer, but that school cannot comment on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So And so the kids are getting really savvy. And so what that means is, kids who know their worth, they're also negotiating back with the schools. This image and likeness could possibly help out a school, let's say New Mexico State, who doesn't really have television contracts, don't really know, but you have a kid who says, you know what I'll do for you, New Mexico State? You bring me in, and you can leverage my likeness. You can leverage me at your school. And next thing you know, so it's going to be very...
Yeah, me and my two McDonald's All-Americans will come your way. Then you can get some TV games, and all we want in return is, and then fill in the blank, right?
That's right. I want the best apartment on campus. You know, I want steak every night for dinner. It's going to be very interesting to see how this gets balanced. But I think the NCAA should take a little bit more control and say, we agree with this. This is how it's going to look. And this is the only way we're going to move this forward. But instead, they gave the various conferences to come up with their own individual regulations. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to be consistent. What I think what's going to happen, it's going to be a delay game. So they have until 2021 to get this right. And then when 2021 comes around, they say, well, that's not quite what we had in mind. So we'll give you two more years. Yep. So I don't think we're going to be turning the corner tomorrow and seeing guys doing the next car commercial.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Now the one school thought was, could Minnesota be positively impacted because the number of Fortune 500 companies in this town compared to, say, other Big Ten schools, which has always been a selling point that I think is kind of falls on deaf ears with a high school kid. I don't think he can comprehend what a Fortune 500, you know, company means, except for a few. But is there a place there? Is that something you would watch closely, that a place like Minnesota may be able to take advantage of this? Or do you think it will get so regulated conference to conference that they won't be able to just say, hey, 3M and General Mills, we're going to partner with you?
You know, I think there's certainly going to be an advantage with Minnesota because you're an arm's length, and I think you're going to have more marketing individuals who are going to be interested to go in the Gopher game. So hopefully they'll fill in those empty seats, even though we're 8-0.
Yeah.
I hate to see as a former Gopher with those empty seats, but they'll be more interested in kind of the college sports. Now, I wouldn't want to rule out that a Fortune 500 company, just because they're based in Minnesota, if you have a kid, like the Johnny Manziel kind of craze that happened.
Well, Jalen Suggs could be one right now, you know?
Absolutely. And what's very interesting, and what's also tested this this topic, was LeVar Ball and his kids.
Yep.
You know, he created this company. His kids were in high school. He monetized them and was, I guess, arguably successful to a certain extent. And this was all happened before they were in college. And he controlled his own destiny with regard to their marketing image. It is going to happen, and quite frankly, I would argue that it has already happened with athletes. When you have social media and Twitter, and they intentionally or unintentionally have the Coke can in their hand, and they're saying they really like this, somebody is getting paid off of that impression,
yep,
whether we like it or not. When we walk into the local establishments next to the stadium and they have the current jerseys of the kids up, somebody's making money off that money.
Yeah, and you can't miss what number it is, because it's the quarterback and the best halfback, right?
That's all. And to even remove all doubt, sometimes they even throw the picture up there,
yep,
of the individual. So it's happening, and I do think this is a proper discussion to have, and I hope the Minnesota legislature, I tell Governor Walz, you know, call me. I'm a former player. I've been behind the lines to help with the legislation, because I think we need more former athletes and individuals who've been behind the scenes in the college athletics to see if we can shape this. I think it's inevitable. However, there is a push and a pull that needs to go on from all sides.
Lee, appreciate it very much. I know we'll be talking about this again. Always enjoy your insights.
Take care, Mike. See you later.
Lee Hutton, former Gopher player, now an attorney, worked with a lot of players on frontline issues, and certainly has his finger on the pulse of what's happening here. But when we come back, I'll tell you why this could be the demise of a lot of college sports. Stay with us.
Sports to the max.
Welcome back to Sports to the Max. Your home the Timberwolves basketball tomorrow night when they play Washington at Washington without the big cat, Karl Anthony Towns. I wonder if he gets to watch the game. Does he get to come to the arena? I guess I don't even know. I guess I haven't asked. I haven't seen that stuff before. Joining us now, one of my favorites from the other side of the river, Dave Wright is a fixture. And if you don't know who he is, you do know who he is because you've heard him doing PA several times. You've maybe witnessed his work. He's at Hamline University, sports information director. And today he is a retired sports information director. He as of October 31st, he decided to hang up the clipboard and the stat sheets and the press releases and move on to a new chapter. But he served it so well in so many capacities, and it doesn't mean he's not going to be still doing a number of things. But I thought it was a great time to touch base with a fixture there from St. Paul. Dave Wright, congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Take me. A lot of people know of Dave Wright, and they know you, and they met you over the time. Take me back. Where did you grow up, and what was your first sports job?
Well, I grew up in Detroit. And so I tell everybody I'm an immigrant. But I went to high school. It's a long story, but I ended up going to high school in Windsor, Ontario, at a boarding school. And while I was there, I wanted to play high school hockey badly. But the only problem was that's how I played it, was badly. And our coach was – in fact, my high school baseball coach was the Twins' original third baseman, Reno Batoria. He was my homeroom teacher.
He was your coach?
Yeah.
He was in Canada?
He lived there. He had played for the Tigers. And when he played for the Tigers, he lived in Windsor. Which is just, you know, if you ever want to win a bar bet, Windsor is the only Canadian city south of the United States because it's actually under Detroit.
And there are people that are in Detroit that will go to Windsor for the wrong reasons, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, you went there for fireworks.
Yeah.
Because it was illegal in Detroit, but legal in Canada. But anyway, while I was in high school there, Father Cullen, who was the coach of the hockey team, said, you know, I told him I wanted to try out for the team. And he goes, well, you're not going to make it. We're pretty good, and you're not. But I have a job for you. They were moving inside to the Windsor Arena that year. He said, I need somebody to run the scoreboard and do the PA, and you can do that. And so I started when I was a junior in high school. And we had a pretty good high school team. Mike Eaves was on our team.
You were there when Mike Eaves was there, huh?
Oh, yeah. I called his games. I was kidding him when he was at St. Olaf. I said, Mike, here we are 49 years later, and we're back together again.
Yeah.
Now he's coaching at Cleveland in the American Hockey League. Eddie Meehl, who played in the NHL for a long time as a goaltender, was our high school goaltender. Played at Colorado College. Gopher fans will remember him from Colorado College days years ago. So we have a pretty good team, probably at the Class A level. You know, the good rec, the good world, that sort of team. And I did the PA there, and then I came out to St. Thomas when it was the journalism school was pretty small at the time. We only had 16 in our journalism, and that counted the six girls from St. Kate's who came down, who were very popular, by the way.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. Everybody was listening. They go, yes, we were. And I started doing the PA at St. Thomas for Gus Schwartz. And then when they went to the Coliseum, I was doing their games. Dick Stanford was the PA announcer there. He got hired by the North Stars to do the PA. And so they said, well, let's get that kid from St. Thomas and have him do it. And I did the Coliseum for all those years. And that led to working the state tournament because John Bartz, who was a official at the high school league, was also a referee.
Yeah.
He needed somebody to do the consolation games when they went to the two-class tournament. So I worked over at Mariucci for about 10 years as the king of consolation. I would always tell him in the section final, congrats on winning. You don't want to see me next week. You see me, you lost.
Consolation,
you
see me.
Yeah. And then when Bob Reed retired, I got asked to be moved into to work the state hockey tournament. I ended up in the basketball tournament strictly by accident. I was at a game, watching a friend of mine's son play, and Dick Stanford got ill at the game. He took ill. And Howard Voigt came over and said, you've done basketball, haven't you? And I go, yes, I lied.
Yeah.
And I literally went over there at halftime and finished the game. And Skip Peltier, who was running it, was so grateful that he gave me a couple games the next year. And, you know, it just took off from there. So this is actually my 50th year as a PA announcer. I do St. Agnes's football games. I did their games this year. And I'm going to do some hockey games for St. Thomas Academy. Hopefully I'll get rehired by the high school league. They don't do that until after the first of the year. So I'm not going away on that. It's just,
the Hamlin job is a great job, great people. Jason Verdugo is a terrific athletic director, but it just got a little much. 20 teams and keeping up with it, and Sunday soccer games. It just thought it was just time for someone else to do it. I wanted to go one more year, and then I realized in about the middle of September that I was just too tired.
Really?
Too tired to do it. And I figured this was a good time to leave because the fall season is just about over. The volleyball and soccer teams will wrap up their season tomorrow. Football's only got a couple of weeks left, and it can give the new person a chance to get in there just as hockey and basketball gets underway.
Explain what a sports information director does, because I know because we work so closely with you guys, but a lot of people probably don't even realize what that means.
No, in simple terms, you're responsible for all the stuff. So you do all the stuff on the website, you do all the statistical work, you send everything in to the newspapers, the wire services, to the NCAA, to your league office, and then you send them to the opposing SIDs. I take pictures. I do all the stats. You hire a bunch of students, and you couldn't do the job without the students. The students have been, and that's, I think, the part I'm going to miss the most is some of those students were just, all of them were just really good to work with. And what was fun is as they got better, you didn't have to do as much because they knew their jobs. And the biggest thing, like on a home game, is you're trying to put out, say, this is a professional show. You tell the students, listen, I know these are your buddies out there, but no cheering. No cheering here.
Yep.
Okay. And, and I'm just really a problem. For example, Cole Mayer, who's the video guy for the United, was a student at Hamlin. Terrific. And I knew he'd be really, really good. And he is really good. And when you see guys like that go out there and make successes of themselves, it's really fun to see. So I will miss that because you get really close to those students. You spend a lot of time with them. Spend as much time with them as they spend with their families during basketball and hockey. And on a Saturday, for example, on a routine Saturday, there'll be six, seven teams playing.
Yeah.
So the SID writes six or seven stories. Then you have to turn off your cross country mind and put on your swimming mind. And now you turn off your swimming mind and you go to your football mind. These are on games you haven't seen. Average course of a year, I added up last year, in the last calendar year, I think the number was 1,016 stories
wow.
for the website.
And you got to make sure the spelling's correct and the grammar's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's painstaking.
It is. And like they say, a lawyer defends himself as a 404 client. I'm editing myself, and a lot of times I'll see mistakes later that I missed right away.
Sure.
I'll look at them an hour later and go, geez, how did I misspell that name? And quickly correct it. That's the hardest part of it, is keeping track of all that and editing yourself and going back and editing yourself and editing yourself again. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see some of these programs go. It was tremendous fun, like, to see what Natalie has done with that hockey team from where she took them. Her first game, Mike, her first home game, 4 or 5 years ago, they lost to River Falls. I still remember it, 8-0. And she thought it was the end of the world. And I remember telling her, I said, Natalie, if this had been last year, it would have been 15-0.
She couldn't see that progress.
No, she couldn't. Yeah. Well, and to be fair to her, she comes out of D1, and now she's seeing a D3 team that she has to totally rebuild. Took it apart piece by piece and then put it back together, figured out what kind of players that she wanted, and now look at them. They're one of the best D3 teams in the country. It's remarkable to watch. So that's been the fun part. The hardest part is when you see your teams get beat, and they're struggling, and that's hard, particularly because you like those coaches. You build up rapport with them. And you hate to say, look, I got to talk to you afterwards, after a tough day. But they know, that you're on their side, but you also have a job to do. I took great pride in that and trying to make it as professional an atmosphere as possible because this is their big time. I mean, you were a college athlete. Those are the 20, 30 years later.
And we all live in a bubble. We think that it's the most important thing in our life at the time because to that point in our life, it's the most important thing almost,
It is. And, you're talking about the intensity, and obviously at the pro level, there's a lot more skill. But the intensity of MIAC games when they're well played, like last year when Hamlin was playing St. Thomas in the NCAA tournament, you know, that atmosphere was like a Stanley Cup game. I mean, there may have only been 900 or 1,000 people in the place, but that building was just alive from the start. And, you know, when you get a really intense game like that, that's what happens.
What's been your overall impression of the MIAC? Obviously, you know, everybody wants to talk about St. Thomas leaving right now, but set that aside for a second. As you get to know these student-athletes in general and you observe what you do, this is my takeaway, and I guess I'm biased because I'm a product of the MIAC, is I'm not worried about the next generation.
Oh, no. No, they're getting so much, they're so much better. Like on men's hockey, you know, maybe 5 years ago, you could still do this, but it's almost impossible to play men's hockey in the MIAC and not have played juniors.
Yeah.
The game is just too bad.
And I'm just talking about the quality of the kids, because they really do have a sense of balance that they're there for a degree first, you know?
Yeah, they're student-athletes in the truest sense of the word. I always thought the MIAC is Division III's version of the Ivy League.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to be students first. And, you know, I think one of the things that Jason did as athletic director that he can take great pride in is they have upped dramatically the number of academic all-conference people, academic all-Americans. To be academic all-conference, you have to have a 3.5 GPA. And you and I haven't been out of college that long to remember how hard that is to do.
I ended up with a 4.0. 1.0 as a freshman, 1.0 as a sophomore.
I was probably pretty close to the same thing at St. Thomas. You know, I just thought it was the night. I could only dream of 3.5.
How did the St. Thomas thing sit with you as an alum when you saw it all coming down?
Well, I honestly, Mike, I think they outgrew the league because the school has gotten so big, you know, and I think they've just outgrown the league.
And they want to be big. That's what they want to be.
Yes.
And Hamlin doesn't want to be big. Hamlin doesn't have any interest in being big.
Well, they don't have any room to be big.
They don't have any room either. Neither does Augsburg. Neither, you know.
No. I think it's funny you mentioned Augsburg, because I think Hamlin and Augsburg as schools are very similar. They just across the river from each other. But then they're very similar schools in a lot of ways, and their kids are that way too. One of the great things that they did, here's a good example, is Hamlin and Augsburg's SAC, their Student Academic Athletic Committee, each year they do a Special Olympics basketball game with the Special Olympians. They play 1 year at Hamlin, the next year they play at Augsburg, and the Augsburg kids get in there with the Special Olympians, and the Hamlin kids get in with the Special Olympians, and it's something to watch.
That is cool. When is that?
It's usually in February. I don't know when it will be.
Sounds
this
like
year,
a good TV story to me, buddy.
Oh, it'd be a great TV story, you know. And I mean, and those kids, you know, they get and they do two or three. You know, they'll do like a beanbag tournament and a bowling tournament together. Northwestern has been in on that too before. These kids, because these are all kids who they all know each other. They played with each other in high school or against each other.
Yep.
And a lot of times, they're after a game. You don't see it at the D1 level as much, but you see it at this level. They're shaking hands afterwards, and they mean it, because they say, "All right, I owe you this summer. You won.
Yeah.
You know, I owe you a pop this summer." You know, and you know, a lot of them played with each other in high school, and so they know each other pretty well. And the coaches are teachers. They're still teachers in a lot of cases, and that's the other thing I'm going to miss is I build up pretty good rapport with a lot of those coaches and the referees You know, the referees will tell you that those intense basketball games when you're playing a really good team are just as intense and sometimes even harder fought than D1 games, because this is all they have. They're going for bragging rights. Very few of them are going to be pros. Every now and then you get one, but that's not what they're there for.
Yeah. So if you had to end it right now, if you weren't going to work again in anything, what would be your biggest highlight of your career so far in anything?
In anything? Man, that's a tough one. I would say being the two NCAA D3 hockey finals that I got to go to. Unfortunately, both of them they lost. St. Thomas lost up at Superior in the NCAA final, and Hamlin lost last year. But seeing them get that far and knowing how far they had to come to get to that level.
And only the people that live it really understand that, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, in the case of hockey, they started out at Oscar Johnson Arena, which is a little nippy. We played a game there in which the temperature was -3 one time at game time. I whispered that to Corey Leyland. I saw the Lake Forest coach. He said, "No, he'll leave. Don't do that."
Oh, man.
You know, and how hard these guys work. I mean, they're at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're in there.
Yeah, and now you got the best baseball stadium and hockey arena in the MIAC.
Oh yeah, I mean they've come a long way from that, you know, and yeah, it's fun to watch and to see how that, you know, like the MIAC baseball tournament, how good it has gotten. I wasn't there, unfortunately, when Jason took his team to the NCAA tournament the one year. That was just before I got there. You know, whenever an MIAC team gets there and they win it, you know, the league, you know, they may not be publicly cheering for him, but privately they're going, yep, there's one of our guys.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Hey, Dave, congratulations on a job well done. I know this doesn't mean that you're giving up working completely, so I look forward to seeing you around the rinks and everywhere else.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet. Dave Wright, you know, we it's easy for us to highlight the superstars and the this and the that, but boy, there's a lot of people that go in sports that do things that are involved in that we couldn't have without them. And when you really think about it, I mean, you only get to play for a short time no matter who you are. But boy, we all get a shot, you know, to do something in sports in many different ways. I'll give you my take on that and where some of you fit in and you don't realize it when we come back.
Sports to the max.
I always kind of looked at myself not as a reporter or a media type. I just kind of like sports. You know, I played sports, and I was kind of, I enjoy the action that goes with it. I enjoy the uncertainty of it, that you don't know what's going to happen. I enjoy the fact that you have to work really hard to be good at it. And then I plugged into the media. But I just kind of thought myself as just a sports person, and the media just worked for me. But I could have just as easily been a coach or a high school coach for sure. I would love that. That opportunity to do something like that. And you know, I see all these people out there and they played at one time and now they're youth coaches, you know? Very, very important. Good youth coaches are incredibly important. So are youth referees. And so many of us that had anything to do with sports, we enjoy it. And it's, you know, it's not just for you, but do it for others, especially if you're good at it. If you've got if you've got an acumen for sports, go teach it, go coach it, go umpire it, go keep the stats at the game. There's kind of a never-ending reservoir of possibilities for people that like sports. You know, play it as long as you can play it. Play over 35 baseball. Play whatever it is because that's the most fun. But after that, there's still a whole bunch of things that you can do. And, you know, Dave Wright's been a sports information director for all those years, an incredibly necessary component to colleges and everywhere else. And there's people that are athletic directors and administrators and trainers and all those things, but that's the world of sports. And so many people don't really look around enough to say, you know, I've always loved sports, but you can be involved in it. Maybe even if you got a full-time job doing that, something that has nothing to do with it. I'm not talking about your vocation, but there's so many ways to get something out of and to move the cause and to feel good about yourself and to have that one-on-one contact. I always said we're people who need people, and we're the luckiest people in the world. You missed that, Susan. That's the song by Barbara. Yeah. But I'll sing it if you don't laugh the next time. but it is, and it's just, don't miss out on that wonderful opportunity to get to plug yourself in somewhere. Do the PA, keep the stats, go scout for your local high school coaches, whatever it is. But have fun with it and referee a game on a Friday night and then go have pizza with your crew afterwards. Lots of opportunities out there. Get involved because it really is fun. When we come back, what's happening with the migration? You've got questions, we've got answers. Graham Gresseth will join us. He'll cover Western Minnesota, and he'll do an admirable job because he spends his time out here. But, you know, this is CCO. We go all over the Midwest. So that's the first part of the hour. Then Ryan Sauter covers South Dakota. That's how comprehensive we are here in WCCO. I started my show with this. We understand where we lock in, so we need two reports. We're that big. Our signal's that strong. So we're going to hit Western Minnesota and South Dakota tonight, and that starts next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.